it's not the time to stop our efforts of social distancing. It's time to be more disciplined than ever. If we stop our efforts and the situation doesn't improve in Montreal, I won't hesitate to push back the reopening.
I know the man said Bill Carroll, then you heard that voice. My English is better than that, but my English is not so much better than his French. That's François Legault, the Premier of Quebec, and it's all about the numbers. You know, people were so excited in Quebec, and I know there was disappointment in a lot of places around the country that he gave dates. We're going to open up schools on this date. Why aren't we giving dates? Now he's clarifying that. Well, the date could change depending on the numbers. Well, which numbers? How reliable are the numbers? COVID-19 cases in this country could be a lot higher than we think, according to some research being done at the University of Montreal. Joshua Lewis, assistant professor, Department of Economics there, joins me to talk about that. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Hi, Bill. Glad to be here.
Now, what the hell does an economics professor have to say about all of this? How did you take your expertise and give us some light into the COVID-19 outbreak?
That's right. So it turns out, actually, we're sort of using statistical techniques that have been used in economics, and we're trying to basically apply them to the current COVID-19 situation to say something about what we think the overall prevalence is, both in Quebec and in Ontario.
Okay, promise me there won't be a test at the end and you won't get too wonky, but give me the overview on what are you doing different with statistics that our public health officials are not doing?
Well, so the numbers you probably have seen about, say, the number of cases in Ontario, the number of cases in Quebec, those are only the number of positive cases that are actually tested for and found. But one of the things we sort of know about this virus is that there are a lot of people who have may have mild symptoms, may have no symptoms at all, but still may be a carrier of the disease. And so kind of the goal of our project was to get a sense of how big those numbers are, how many people may be out there in the population who either don't bother to go get tested or may not even know that they're sick to begin with.
So when you say the numbers are many times higher than we may think, it's if we're thinking about the number of positive tests, because public health officials have been doing two things. They've been giving us, here are the number of positive tests, right? These are the number of cases. But our projections are based on assumptions. I mean, almost every healthcare official I've interviewed, and believe me, Joshua, I've interviewed more than I ever hoped to, they usually throw in, but our projections are that the real number out in our community is many times higher. Sometimes they're saying could be 10 times that. So the number you're talking about is the raw number of positive tests, the ones we're more certain about.
So no, I'm talking about the ones that are out in the community that haven't been tested.
But your comparison, you're talking about when you say you're many times higher than the positive tests.
The number of total positive tests. Now, there other researchers have done sort of similar approaches or different approaches, but have tried to get at the same number, which is how many people are actually infected.
Your numbers seem higher than even those projections I've seen, though, right?
Well, so it depends. So we find kind of, we've done this both in Canada and as well as in the States. We're sort of similar to some of these other, what are kind of called epidemiological models. We get, our numbers are in line with them. And actually, there's been some recent what's called serological testing. So this is testing for people who've ever been infected with COVID. And their numbers, if anything, are actually higher than what we're finding.
Right, because they're finding antibodies, which suggest even if you didn't get very sick, you still had the disease.
Exactly, yeah. So our estimates are basically based on the number of people who are currently sick, whereas those antibody tests are whether or not you've ever been sick. And maybe not surprising, they find more people have ever been sick.
And why would that matter to us? Why do we need to know that?
Well, we want to know, first of all, kind of going forward, you know, it's clear that this outbreak is not over and that there may be pockets of spikes in cases, especially as we start to loosen restrictions. And so knowing sort of what the real prevalence is by location is important to be able to kind of respond in real time to what's going on the ground. And then it's also, I think, important to know how many people have had the disease and have developed antibodies and maybe have developed some immunity to the disease so that if we can identify those people, they may be able to go back to work with sort of little risk of infecting them getting infected or infecting others.
Also gives you a better idea of just how deadly the disease is, right? If you know that 100 people tested positive and one died, then the death rate is one of 100. But many people were not tested and got sick anyway. So if the number is, well, it was actually 200 people were sick, we only knew about 100, then one in 200 died. So that number is important as well because it gives us an idea of what we're dealing with. But herd immunity is something we're hearing the most about now, right? Until we have herd immunity, we can't go back to our normal lives. That can come with vaccinations or people contracting the disease or some combination of the two. The problem with your numbers is, and the numbers are the numbers, I'm not blaming you, but the death rate is probably lower than we might have been thinking in the early days. But we're still a long way from herd immunity, aren't we? With Quebec just over 255,000 infected, that's still a relatively small number, isn't it?
That's right. So that's only about maybe roughly 4% of the Quebec population. That's far below what I think epidemiologists would say we need to where the effects of once enough people have developed have recovered from the disease it sort of starts to spread less. We're it's still, you know, over 90% of the population hasn't been infected, and so it's still a potential carrier for the disease.
Right. Have you looked at some of the other studies that have gone on in New York and in Los Angeles, Northern and Southern California, that show that the numbers have, I think in some cases, been 10, 14%, I think, in New York?
Yeah.
Did you look at those numbers from your statistical point of view with your brain and say, that makes sense to me, or did you dismiss them as too high?
Well, so they are very high, but they're actually sort of not way out of the ballpark for what we found. We've also run this for the states, and we find sort of comparable numbers. So if I remember, our best estimate from New York State was about 7%, which is less than 14%. But again, we're measuring different things. We're measuring, do you currently have it? And they're measuring, have you ever had it? So I think sort of our numbers are sort of lining up with what those studies are suggesting.
Right. And then do you look at that over time and say it'll take 7 months or 7 years to get to the 50, 60% where herd immunity starts to have an impact?
So we haven't really done any over time comparison. What we've done so far is just basically the snapshot sort of in mid and in early April. But
well, that's your next assignment, Josh. I have to cut you loose. But thank you for shining a little light on this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot.
Joshua Lewis, Assistant Professor, Department of Economics, University of Montreal.